recap what we've been doing thus far. So we first began with good reasons to be single. You guys remember that? Our very first thing, we went over what are good reasons to be single. Then after we went over good reasons to be single, what did we also go over? Good reasons to be in a what? Relationship. Okay? You guys kind of remember that?
Yeah.
So we considered good reasons for a relationship and good reasons to be single. Okay? Then we went over what? Bad reasons to be what? In a relationship. Okay? I think, Phil, Peter, were you here with us with the good reasons to be in a relationship? Okay, so you started when we were talking about bad reasons, right? But I also don't want to just keep on talking about bad reasons to be in a relationship. I also today want to be nuanced to talk about this week and next week, bad reasons to be what? Single, okay? Is there a possibility? Could you guys think of any possibility that there might be even bad reasons to be single? Could there be such thing as bad reasons to be single?
You could be more lonely.
Yeah, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, that's good. That's one. What else? Anything else? You can think of? Go ahead.
The masculinity, like, kind of, I'm always a bachelor kind of person.
Okay. Okay, or a source of pride, okay, maybe. Maybe even a source of pride above others, okay? Thank you, okay? So today we're going to actually consider bad reasons to be single, okay? Now, if you guys remember, like, why I like to teach, ever since 10 years ago, the first time Andrew had me start teaching about relationships, I've always felt it was always good never to talk about relationships alone. Because oftentimes the people that I'm talking to is also what? Single, right? There's a lot of us that are single here, and some of us are not. You know, Mr. Vernon and I, we happen to be married by the providence and goodness of God, okay? So I think it's equally important to talk about singleness first, because if you're not growing in godliness single, then if you're not faithful in little, would you be able to be faithful in what? Much. Right. You probably would not, right? So faithfulness in little, faithfulness is much, if God has ordained for you to be in a relationship, okay? Is that a book?
Yes.
Is that a book? Oh, okay. It looks like a
Life
book.
Principle Daily Bible.
Okay. I'll ask that question later, okay? So today, we're going to look at bad reasons to be single, okay? So we're going to look at this for two weeks, okay? I know, I could imagine, actually, if I were to go overseas, I'm going to go to Nepal, and I could already imagine the pastors there would be like, why do you talk so much about singleness, which they always do. But you know what? I've also discovered sometimes when I'm shepherding, when I'm trying to encourage guys to say, hey, I think you're ready for a relationship. And they're like, no, I think I'm still good with being single, right? And then it was like, oh, what are the reasons? And the reason they share is that, I don't know if that's fully biblical. So this is why I do want to talk about bad reasons to be single. And but I also want to be nuanced, okay? So if you're reading along, the purpose statement today is to consider some problematic reasons people give for wanting to stay single. So we forsake these bad reasons to be single and have the right reason for our season of being single and or good desire to be desire relationship and marriage, okay? By the way, could there be people that are married that desire to be single?
Sure.
Yeah, that is a bad reason to be single, okay? I'm not going to cover that reason tonight, but I just want to at least show that sometimes it's hard for people to imagine. Could there be a possibility of actually people thinking a bad reason to be single? And now I'd say the answer is yes, okay? So, but let me clarify, everything I'm going to say tonight is, let's just say I go over the bad reasons to be single, and it happens to be that you guys are single, and those are the reasons, one of the bad reasons that I'm refuting or dealing with. That doesn't mean right then and there you must go in a relationship, okay? I need some clarification, okay? So, yes, if you guys see point number two, you guys see the part clarification what? What does it say? Clarification needed, okay? And then what I say afterward, be careful
to understand what I am. And what I am not
saying, okay, yeah. So let me caveat everything I say with this part, okay? The bad reason I'm going to go, I don't want people then therefore say, oh, well, Jimmy says I have bad reasons to be single, therefore I'm going to be married right now. No, okay? That is going to be very nuanced, okay? Be very clear in our thinking, okay? If you think about it, I almost make it almost like a box, a biblical box, right? The first boundary is good reasons to be what? Single. You don't want to have a bad reason to be single. Then I looked at bad reasons to be what? Single, right? We dealt with that too. Or actually, I'm going to deal with that tonight, okay? Then we also look at good reasons to be what? In relationship, okay? Just because there's good reason to be single doesn't mean there's no such thing as good reasons to be in relationship or marriage, okay? So we want to consider that. There's also what? Bad reasons to be in relationship, yes? Which we've gone over for the last 2 weeks. So it's like a box. We want to make sure there's boundaries, the biblical boundary. If you're outside of that, then you're going to be in all kind of mess up problems, okay? So in light of this, we're looking at bad reasons to be single, but let's clarify by what I mean. Letter A. By bad reasons, we're not talking about mere personal preferences, but sinful or anti-biblical reasons, okay? So I'm not going over, when I say bad reasons, I'm not looking about personal preference and opinion. Because there's some people that just desire not to be married. Just God is wired in that way. And I would say, oh, they're not ungodly. Does that make sense? They just say, oh, I'm very content in Christ, but I have no yearning for being single. And they don't have massive sinful issue is why they want to be single. Does that make sense? So I'm not talking about preference, because some people do prefer not to be in a relationship, okay? There's actually some people out there, very few, but there's some people like that. They're like almost like wired that way, okay?
Oh, question.
What?
What about, very few. What if like your spouse had cancer? Is that a good reason or a bad reason?
Good reason to be what? Single?
Yeah.
No, I would say you're faithful until death to us what?
Part.
Part, okay? You'll be faithful to the end. It will be a bad reason if you say, okay, she has cancer and I'm going to now forsake my marriage vow and let her suffer. That would be an unbiblical reason to be single, okay? Because it is a covenant. It is a promise, okay? So, point number two, letter B. Could I have Caleb read that? Under clarification needed.
Just because we identify bad reasons people have for being single does not mean we are saying that such individuals should therefore get into a relationship.
Okay. So, you guys heard what it was read there? My point is this. When we identify some bad reason, it shouldn't be like you be convicted. Jimmy touched on a bad reason I have why I'm okay with being single. But that doesn't mean I'm telling you right now to go on eHarmony.com, right? You know, just because you're single doesn't mean you have to be like, oh, or you have bad reasons for being single. That doesn't mean you right away sign up for, what, 14 days trial with Christian Mingle. Okay? You feeling me? Okay? That's not what I'm saying at all. You have to deal with the heart issue first. Does that make sense? Okay? Thirdly, the third point, Peter, would you be able to read letter C? Under clarification.
Be single and rather dependent, handle and be motivated than you want to be single, good relationship, and actually marriage.
Okay, you guys understand what I mean by that? Today, the right response is not so much going to say you're going to be single or married. It's more about your heart motivation is what I focus on. In other words, if you, let's just say you're right now single. When you look at bad reasons to be single, what you need to work on is not, you need to reject the bad reason to be single, but then you affirm what? Good reasons to be single, at least for the season in your life. But you could also hold good reasons to be what? In a relationship too. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it's really about godly contentment and godly growth, no matter what reason. Okay. If you're single. By the way, if you're married and you have bad reasons to be single, then obviously you need to repent right away, and you're still going to be in a relationship. Does that make sense? It doesn't change your state right away. It's now working on your heart of rejecting the bad reasons and also affirming the good reasons for the state that you're in. Does that make sense? Okay? So I'm going more towards the heart. So don't take this message and say, therefore, hey, you know what? It's a God sign for me to go to some random sister in our church and say, hey, I'm going to marry you right now. It's like, okay, that's what I'm saying. Okay? Yes, okay? By the way, at Grace Community Church, There was one time at Grace at UCLA, it got so bad, one guy decided randomly took a girl out to coffee, and I guess his name was Roger something, I think some of the guys know, you know, if you ask certain older guys at our church, they know the story, because he just took this girl to coffee and asked her to marry her, just like that. Like, they never dated, like, he barely know her a little bit at church, and then she said yes. Then it started, like, another guy did the same thing. Then after a while, some of the guys started doing that. So it got to a point that Grace Community Church, the pastor had to have like a whole Bible study, say, hey, this is what a biblical view of courtship is.
Yeah, more than one woman said yes?
Yes. But then also it started freaking out the sisters. Because some of the sisters decide, uh-oh, like, I don't want to go to church anymore. I don't want to go to, because what if someone takes me out to coffee? And, you know, and what if I just want to find out who this guy is, and this guy's going to ask me to marry? Like, is that biblical? Am I now ungodly? So it just freaked people out, and there's all kinds of problems, okay? So, okay, it should not be the first time you went to grab bagels and coffee, you already proposed. That's kind of strange, okay? This is why, as we go on to the series, the meat of our series is going to be what is the character of God, person you pursue, and how do we pursue? And a part of our series that I'll go over is also, I like going over how breakups too, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I'm doing different than 10 years ago, with the teaching series, I'm going to add a part about taking risk, okay? Because you single guys, you know that, could it hurt? Trying to pursue a relationship.
Sure.
Yeah, right? But sometimes you just gotta do it, okay? Hey, we're all guys now, right here, okay? This is gonna be Frank Tucker. I know this is recorded here, okay? Sometimes it's like getting kicked in the nuts, okay? If I could just say this real quick, okay?
Yeah.
But sometimes you just gotta do it, okay? There's no way to prepare for it, You know, it's just like, could you train for getting kicked in the testicles? Not really. Like, you know, I can imagine you get trained every time, but it's not going to, like, you get kicked 3 times, it's like, the 4th time doesn't make it easier, okay? Mm. Sometimes you just got to be godly and just do the right thing of taking risks, okay? I'm saying all things being equal, this is your role, okay? There's, like, no amount of training. Sometimes it's just, you got to just you do, okay? And that's the role that God has called men, right, to take the risk. And yes, still be brotherly towards the sisters, okay? Can I just say this? This is, you know, I don't know what other thing you could do to train to get ready to be rejected. You just have to, what? Get your ego beaten up and be more godly and humble as a result, okay? But God has called us to do that, okay? But we'll talk about that too next week when we consider some people say they want to be single because bad reasons that, okay, I do want to be in a relationship, but I never want to take the risk of asking somebody. I don't want to ever be rejected, okay? Sometimes that's our role, okay? I hope I didn't stumble anyone being graphic, but I think you get the idea.
Yeah,
okay? There's no preparation, right? There's no, you know, like cold showers. I don't know how you guys ever had this, like cold water. I don't think there's no amount of training for me to ever be used to the cold. It's just sometimes, you know, like you keep taking cold showers, it just doesn't work going to the pool. It's just, you just got to just go in and just get cold, like in the Marines. It's just, there's no amount of training in the world that can prepare you. Every time it's cold, it gets more miserable. It's just sometimes you just got to go do it, right? Okay?
Sometimes it's nice.
Yeah, okay? So I'm glad tonight it's all guys, because I've been always wanting to say that analogy. Okay, let's go back on. Let's go to this also as well. Point number 4, sometimes the reason people give for not wanting to be in a relationship reveal the truth of why it is better for them to be single than in a relationship in light of those who are in or their situation. Okay? What I'm trying to say here is this. It reveals, I think, a lot of times where they're at spiritually, okay? In such an instance, they at least know that they have a problem if they were to be in a relationship, okay? So it is good. Sometimes people that hold a bad reasons to be in a relationship, I think you got to give them credit. One thing to realize is that at least they have enough foresight that they see that they're not ready. Does that make sense? So at least they see that there's a problem. And that's actually better than someone that don't see they have a problem at all and then go into a relationship. Does that make sense? As the second point says, these people recognize their problem and are a better stage than those who have the same problem. You know, let's just say there's 2 guys with anger issue, like massive anger issue. One recognizes this problem and says, okay, I need to work on being godly before I enter a relationship. And the second guy does not see it at all. What happens? Which one is in a better place before the sight of God? The one that pursued a relationship or the one that did it? That knows that he has such a massive problem he shouldn't be in that relationship. What do you guys think, guys? What do you guys think?
Probably the one that didn't pursue the relationship.
Yeah. Okay, does that make sense? Because he was going to bring himself and he's going to be what? Not an asset to the relationship, but he's going to be a risk and going to be a major liability and problem. Right? Does that make sense? Okay? Yeah. These people, so I think that's one thing to realize. Okay, so with all being said, I'm not saying, therefore, if you realize you have problems while you're in a relationship for being single, that doesn't mean you go right away. Again, be very clear with that. Yeah. Letter E, could I have someone read letter E?
And people with bad reasons for being single are better off being single than in a relationship. Why should we even care about bad reasons? For being single.
Does that make sense, the question? The question is, okay, let's just say everything I said earlier is true. If you know if you know you're not ready for a relationship because of sin, right? And they're already doing a quote-unquote good thing by not sinning more by being in a relationship, then why do we still talk about bad reasons for a relationship? Why are we going to have this Bible study anyways? Does that make sense, the question? Here are the 2 reasons why, okay? Here's the 2 reasons why we should still talk about, address the issue, okay? If it's sinful, it does not please God, okay? If the reason why you're not in a relationship is because you do have sin, you don't just say, okay, oh, I'm perfectly content for not being in a relationship and I'm okay with where I'm at. No, because, well, if it's sinful, anytime we're sinful, it does not please who? God. Remember, the whole purpose in life as a Christian is to please God and glorify Him. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Josh, hold up real quick. Let's wait till people slowly turn. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I saw you look ahead. That's pretty good, because you're an eager beaver to read, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Go ahead, Josh.
Whether then you eat or you drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God.
Okay, so this is one of the reasons why when you find out that, hey, you have certain sin, let's just say you're not responsible, you're lazy, you're crazy, that's good, you're not in a relationship. But also don't just stop there, because God wants us to be what? To truly please God, I'm glad you made the right choice, not to be in a relationship in that case, if that scenario describes you. But we still need to grow on being godly, because that's what truly pleases Him. Does that make sense? We can't just be content and say, oh, I'm content, I'm just at this rest place of not being in a relationship, okay? So, second point is often the problem people have for being single also affects them socially and affects the fellowship within the church or their testimonies as Christians with unbelievers, such as at work, okay? By the way, I always say this, social is spiritual. Social is spiritual. Say it.
Social is spiritual.
Okay. I always encourage our guys, right, to walk our sisters to the car. But I've always been that way. I'm not, you know, Eric called me fun of me, like, oh, you're just the overly protective pastor, brother. But I don't think so. I think it's not just pastors, but back in Koinonia days, that was the same thing too, right? There's always strange people, sometimes if it is a church and fellowship. And you always want to be careful to watch your sisters. Not because you have a crush on the sisters, but just being a brother. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Social is spiritual, okay? Social is spiritual. Sometimes I know in our church, guys would ask, hey, Jimmy, I'm kind of awkward. How do I initiate a relationship? And I'll say, you know what? Work on being sociable. You know, it shouldn't be you just go on a date and therefore you bring your A game, right? And memorize a few pickup lines. There's a lot of cheesy Christian pickup lines, yes? Right? What are some cheesy ones? Oh, okay, that's good. I was testing you guys to see if you guys were easy with that, right? There's some pretty cheesy one, right? Like, I don't know, did you fall down from heaven or whatever the stars thing, right? My favorite, it's like, have you made First Thessalonians 5:26 your life verse, right? So what's your life verse? Oh, my life verse is First Thessalonians 5:26. Oh, what is that? You know, greet one another with a holy kiss. Like, no, right? Okay. That is cheesy, okay? That's so cheesy, that's like worse than grilled cheese, okay? So I bring it up to say, the thing you work on is being social. Does that make sense? You're at church, you're treating other guys, you know? Don't be like the one guy that's in our church many years ago that I told him, okay, he's like, why is no one interested in me whenever I try to pursue a relationship? And I'm trying to be real nice. And everyone's like, hey, but you're not nature nice to anyone. Maybe that's why you need to work on that. And then I remember counseling, and he's crying at 1 to 3 in the morning. I was meeting with him. I drove out to his workplace. And then I told him, you know what, here's a good practice. Why don't you just be a loving sister, a loving brother to his sister? And I said, hey, why don't you walk that sister to her car? And he's like, ew, I'm not attracted to this one. And I was like, that's exactly your problem. You're only nice and godly, or acting nice only when what? That person, you have an agenda, okay? Does that make sense? You don't want to be that yo-yo, okay? And that guy was always saying, no, Jimmy, you're wrong. I will be nice to that person. But now he's married. He's not in our church anymore. But he will go around and tell people, literally, saying, Jimmy Lee was right. My pastor is so right. He rebuked me so many times and showed so many love that I need to love people as it is. So that's a success story, I guess. But anyways, go back on with that. You know, I know sometimes we say a lot of bad, negative stories, but that's one that he's grown. Okay, he's part of our couples meeting still. And he'll share the same thing that I've shared, so it's not gossip, I think. Okay? But with that, so you need to work on that, okay? If you're somebody that is mean towards people, and therefore you know, I can't be in a relationship, you be naturally mean as your natural disposition, do you think that'll affect you at your workplace? What do you guys think? Yeah. Right? Then you're going to affect your Christian witness. So that's why we need to address the things, that sinfulness, even when we're single. And we can't just say, oh, we're glad you didn't pursue a relationship and we're content with that. No. God's goal is for you to be godly. But also realize, the same things that would hinder you from a good relationship in courtship, in boyfriend-girlfriend, or engaged, or dating, or marriage, is going to be the same thing that's going to affect you, what? In work, your testimony to non-believing family members, in your family, and also to the church. Does that make sense? Okay? Show me a guy that's going to have difficulty in relationship. They'll probably also have difficulty with people. The same kind of problem sometimes, too. Does that make sense? Some of it, not always, but you'll see as a rule of thumb, okay? So with this, let's go to bad reasons to be single. We're going to only look at three, okay? We're going to only look at three. Bad reasons to be single. Point number one is what?
What people typically say.
Or want to what? bad reasons, number one is what? Wants to have fun. Okay? You know what I mean by that? Let me give what typically would say. I think just an example. What things you can see the symptom of that, okay? They say, people with this issue, or a bad reason to be single, they say, you know what, I don't want to be married, because I just want to have fun. You guys ever hear people say that? Family, friends, or whatever else, co-worker, or maybe ourselves, also as well, okay, if you're single. So they say things like, I need to have fun first before I get married. You guys ever hear that? Secondly, they say things like, you're too young to be settled down. You're missing out the single life, okay? Sometimes you see this when someone's about to get married, right? I don't know if you had, Mr. Bird, have you ever had this? When you were about to get married, people just say, oh, don't get married yet. Just go slow. Just have fun. And you'll never say
that. No, I've heard people say that.
Okay, yeah, okay. We can picture that, okay? I know when before I was going to get married, some of my guys that I served with the Marines were like that, okay?
Yeah.
But I have no regrets. Some of those guys that I look at, it's like, man, we're all approaching 40. It can't be... We can't be doing this lifestyle. You know, you're not no longer 18 yo-yo, okay? You know, we're all changing. And we can't be doing the same, or not that I participate, no. We can't be doing the same thing. Like you're 20, thinking it's just drinking and just having girlfriends, a girlfriend, a girlfriend, okay? Like, we're all getting older. That's not godly either, okay? So, what this is, so this is bad reason number one, is wanting to have fun, okay? So, let's biblically interpret this, okay? Biblically interpreting this. Could you read point number one, Caleb? Under interpreting this biblically.
Often there's an assumption that marriage is not a gift from God, or that it's not joyful.
Okay. Notice this thing is when you say, okay, I want to be single instead of getting in a relationship or marriage. There's a false one. There's an assumption that marriage is not a gift from God, or that it is not what? Joyful. Does that make sense?
That's contrary to Proverbs 18:22.
Yeah, that's contrary to Scripture. Let's turn to Proverbs 18:22. Proverbs 18:22. Phil, would you be able to read Proverbs 18, verse 22?
Proverbs.
Proverbs 18.
Proverbs 18:22.
18:22.
Yes.
And who find a wife find a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord?
Okay. Yeah. I bring this to say is that is marriage a good thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. If someone is married, is it a favor from the Lord?
Yes.
Yes.
It shouldn't be seen as what balls and ball and chain, right? Andrew, our old pastor, when he was getting married, he had a Christian sanctified bachelor party. They did paintball or something like that. But then some of the guys tackled him. I wasn't there. I was in Iraq at that time. They tackled him. Well, I was in the Marines. They tackled him and they put, you know, like those jail, like the, you know, the shackles with a big ball, you know, heavy ball. So they did that. And then they went to go grab dinner. Right, but for some reason, Andrew told me later is that he was so surprised when they were going to Old Town Pasadena to have dinner. You know, the rest of the guys were paying for it. Everyone around was like, "Oh, you got married." And Andrew's like, "How did they see me with ball? You know, like a ball and chain, and recognize right away that was like he just got engaged and this is a you know a bunch of the bachelor parties and that." So Andrew was just like blown away with that. Okay, but that's that. That's how some people see the world, right? The world sees it sometimes and saying, oh, now you're tied down. You can't have fun any longer. Okay? You can't have fun any longer. But that's, or you no longer have anything good in your life. Okay? You mourn for that person, etc. Okay? But is that biblical? No. Proverbs 18:22. Finding a wife is a good thing. Okay?
Yeah.
So the individual that suffers with this idea, say, oh, I want to just have fun instead of being married. This is a rebuke from the Word of God. Because being married is a good thing, okay? Being married is a good thing. Point number two, there's an error in this bad reason to be single. Having joy and being in a committed relationship are not either or. It can be what? Both and, okay? It's not as if like, okay, if I want to be joyful, I cannot be married or in a relationship, committed relationship or Christian godly relationship, okay? Or you say, okay, if I'm in a Christian marriage, I would never have joy ever again. Okay, it's not either or. It's possible to have both and. Okay, both and at different times. Does that make sense?
Right.
Okay. Phil, would you be able to check the door? I think. Is that the door? Mm-hmm. Is anyone in the door? No, right. Okay. So that's also to say. Okay, so that's to say that this kind of thinking is committed a logical fallacy of either or, okay, fallacy. Yeah. When it's really you can have both and. It's not as if they're mutually exclusive. Does that make sense? Okay? Point number three, okay? Point number three. Sometimes when one probe more deeply, of what people mean by fun, okay? So those people that say, oh, I don't want to ever be in a relationship because I want to have fun, I think it's always good to ask the first question is, wait, what is fun, okay? What do you see is so fun about being single? Sometimes you would be surprised to find out what they define as fun might actually be sinful. Does that make sense? Okay? So again, we're addressing, I know you just came in, Jin, we're addressing bad reasons to be single to balance out all our studies we've looked at. In our study, good reasons to be single, then we looked at good reasons to be in a relationship. We looked at bad reasons to be in a relationship, and also now we're looking at bad reasons to be single. Okay, and we're addressing more the heart issue. And my point earlier before you came in was also saying that just because we found out that you have bad reasons to be single, I'm not saying right then, go find a girlfriend or get married right now. But work in the heart to have godly reasons to want to be married and godly reasons to be content in singleness. Okay. So now we're looking at point number one, bad reasons to be single. Number one is want to have fun, okay? So sometimes, as our last point with this is, sometimes when someone says, oh, I don't want to be married because I want to have fun. Or I don't want to be in a relationship because I want to have fun. I think it's appropriate to ask the question, wait, what do you mean by fun? What is it that you see about singleness that is so fun that you say that you can't have a marriage? And sometimes when you ask, it could be possible there's sin as a reason why. For instance, some people say, oh, I don't want to be committed in a monogamous relationship. I just want to what? Sleep around. So it'll be fun, okay? I just want to live a life of partying, of just flirting, okay? Or also, well, sometimes it could be like, they just want to have many different experiences with many different what? Girls,
right,
or guys, okay? So, but that's not God's intent for courtship and relationship, right? Every courtship is to head towards what? The goal is marriage. Does that make sense? So these are sometimes when people say, oh, I don't want to be married at all because I want to have fun. Sometimes when you ask further, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, sometimes you discover these are the reasons that there's biblical heart issues with that problem. Does that make sense? If it's sexual sin, that's contrary to what? 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, right? Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. Josh, are you already there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 and 10. And then, Josh, could I have you read that verse right now?
Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornications, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah, so notice here it talks about fornicators. You guys know what fornicators are? What's a fornicator? What's fornication? The sin of fornication.
The eager beaver.
The eager, what does that mean?
Well, it's having sex when you're not married.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, when fornication is a sin, when it's there's sexual activities where the parties involved, sadly in this age, I can't just say when two people, right? When the parties involved, none of them are married, okay? If one of us is married, then it becomes another sin called adultery. Does that make sense?
Because
right. They broke their marriage vow. By the way, I do think not all sin are equal. I think scripture, there's an emphasis that adultery is really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Adultery in the Old Testament was kind of capital. Was kind of offense. It's a capital offense.
Mm-hmm.
People could be what?
Executed,
stoned in Israel. Okay, under the theocracy in Israel. Okay? Of course, every sin deserved hell, but at the same time, the human consequence of that was so great. But in fornication, that is when they're not married. Does that always automatically mean they're all going to be executed? No. Sometimes they make amends of saying, oh, you know what? You guys been in a relationship for a while. You guys are tempted. Man, just get married. All things being equal. The parents agree, the responsibility, blah, blah, blah. Assessment of the parents. Then just get married. Does that make sense? Okay? Other cases is like, no, you have to pay a fine. Because the father assessed and say, oh, you know what? They're not ready. my daughter, I'm not going to give my daughter up to this, but they're still fine. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean automatically death penalty, like in the case of what? Adultery. Because you're breaking a covenant called a marriage, okay? So I bring this to say is this. For those, sometimes people when they say, oh, I want to have fun instead of being married, tied down, they're actually, sometimes if you ask further, what do you mean by fun outside of marriage? That you can't have a marriage. What they really mean is fornication. And with this, we need to address it and say, fornication, it is a sin. So in terms of application, if this just describes you, you want to have fun, okay? Then I think we need to see these applications. By the way, I think maybe for some of us in the church, this would not be applicable, talking about, okay, you just want to have fornication. Sometimes it might just be, I know this almost sounds shameful and funny to say, sometimes it might just be, they just want to have fun of just being able to what? Go home every day and play Fortnite, right? Or playing video games. I think that's a reality we need to talk about. I think preaching, I love going to other churches. Preaching to the youth is the number one thing I like to do. Two things I always like to talk a lot about is singleness, relationship, and what? Finance. Because it's better to go and I be the bad guy, talking about giving to the Lord instead of the pastor. And number two is what? Relationship, because people, young people always want to be in relationship, okay? But at the same time, I got to say, this is a real thing, okay? This is a real thing where people sometimes say, oh, you know what? I just want to have fun rather than be married. Well, what does that mean? Well, I'm not looking for adultery. I'm not looking for fornication. But I just want to go home and just play Fortnite all day, okay? Or whatever else that is. So as application, I think the thing is this, is to deal with this, if you struggle with this, is number one, you need to see the beauty of what marriage is. That should be a powerful motive for wanting to marry. More powerful than single reasons, sinful reasons to be single. Okay? So I encourage those who struggle with this, is a study the scripture. What does God have to say about marriage? And let's just say you it turns out you're never going to be married. But at the same time, you see a biblical portrait of marriage, how beautiful it is, God's way of marriage. At least you see, oh, that's God's design. That's beautiful. And knowing that and understanding that removes the unbiblical notion of being single when you say, oh, my video games is better than marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
God's creation of marriage is better than any RPG game you would ever play. Okay? It's better than any RPG game you'll ever play or anything else. Okay? So you need to know that and remove that as a bad reason. You might have good reasons to still be single, but let's not be, okay? I know this sounds kind of funny, but I was just preaching at a retreat. Oh, man, maybe I'm saying too much. But there's a pastor. This guy got married much later in life. I don't want to say too much. He got married at 40-something. And he told me he got stuck in a rut for a long time because he thought, you know what, I kept on getting rejected. So he just goes home every day to play video games. A grown man, 40-something, right? A pastor. He's a guy that I think is a great preacher. He's a better preacher than I am. But he just told me, oh, no one ever knew my struggle. Because all I did was, I could just prepare a sermon. It's not like I have any responsibility. Just a little bit and sound good. Then the rest of the time, I just play video game. And video game and video game after video game after video game. Okay? This is a grown man. This is a pastor. If that guy struggles, could there be even people that are non-pastor that struggle? Yeah. Okay? So we need to see this biblically. And now if you ask him, he says, wow, at that time I was so blinded. What is a biblical portrait of marriage? Okay, this individual never taught much on marriage. Okay, I think there's a reason for that. By the way, that's why I do think expository preaching is good. Because if you preach sequentially by the word of God, it'll touch on things that I'm not comfortable with. Okay, am I comfortable talking about predestination? Truth is, I probably am not. But Romans 9 is biblical. We're going to get there, right? Double predestination, like I don't really particularly feel like, oh yeah, like I have to wear my sleeve, but we'll get there. But we have to preach the word of God accurately, right? Okay, so here we go back on with this. Okay, bad reason there. So you need to see a biblical portrait. Also, second thing, study the holiness of God. Let your lens of what is fun be properly interpreted by scripture. Okay, sometimes what people say is fun might be things that are ungodly. Okay, we'll talk more about this later on, about even sexual sins as why people decide to be reasons to be single, okay? I hope no one here is ever, none of us here is visiting any prostitutes, okay? I hope none of us here. But at the same time, I've been amazed enough in Koinonia days of ministry and the Marines that sometimes you people in the church that actually do go out there. And that's bad. That actually, There's actually with the government. There was actually a college university studies done before. I think it's a waste of government's money, in my opinion. That was done of self confidence, and they actually found. I don't know. It's amazing. I think you know it's a waste of government money, if you ask me. But people that actually go visit prostitute have lower self esteem. But I also don't think that should be surprising, right? This is the most intimate thing, and it's all artificial. It's all paid for, right? It's not organic love, which is the worst kind of thing that you want to have, and it's sad. And it's lonely. All that, and it means nothing. Okay? But at the same time, sometimes people would be so content, say, okay, I'm a sinner, I'm awful, but I'm okay with just being myself and playing with themselves in an ungodly manner. Okay? And let that not be that you get intertwined with being single with this and being content with sin. Okay? Study the holiness of God. Let the lens of Scripture interpret what is fun. Okay? And what is joy. Okay? We need to have that. Okay? Sometimes it might not even be like outwardly sinful things. Sometimes it might be things, and I heard this before, someone said, but I want to be single. I want to skydive whenever I want. Okay? Now, skydiving is not wrong in of itself. There's no Bible verse that says that, okay? Now, I don't know if it's fully wise all the whole time. I can't drive out a perfectly good airplane. But at the same time, there's a greater heart issue of also saying, if life is just only about pleasing yourself first, or is it about love? Okay? Chances are, if the person's with this, he also probably means his life, he wants to just do everything his way. And will that spill over in his relationship with others, like platonic relationship, not boyfriend-girlfriend relationship? Yeah, it will. Okay? So, I want to do whatever I want. I don't want to skydive or whatever. Maybe I'll do it on Sunday. Maybe not on small group. Again, I don't want to be religious, legalistic. At the same time, the guy's on their own program. There's a lack of love sometimes. Does that make sense? Easy come, easy go. No commitment. Easy to not have that. Does that make sense? Who you are in these matters is who you are eventually in other areas of life. You can't domesticate any one area of your life. It spills over to every area of your life, okay? So study the holiness of God. Second bad reason. What's the second bad reason number two? What is bad reason number two?
I don't have a lot of money.
You want to have a lot of money, okay? What I mean by this is people sometimes would say, oh, you know what? The reason why they don't want to be in a relationship is they want to have money over a relationship, okay? What people typically say, just to put this in perspective, okay? I'm not going to be married. I need to make a lot of money first, right? Some people say, I need to be a millionaire first or whatever, whatever, or buy a house, that kind of thing. Or people say things like, no money, no what? Honey. Now, in some sense, that's kind of true, you know? I always discourage people to be in a relationship, to actively pursue this relationship when they're not working at all. Because idleness brings about all kinds of sin. And if you're idle with nothing else to do, would that eventually... by the way, sometimes idleness is also... it's not just idle itself. You could be unemployed. I'm not against preaching... I'm not against people unemployed. You guys hear me? Sometimes life is hard. The job market, is, objectively speaking, for millennials, is hard. I think it is hard. But I'm not against unemployment. But I'm against idleness. People could be unemployed and still be productive. They're actively looking for a job. They're actively going serving the church. There's certain guys in our church that were unemployed for a certain season too. And I met with them regularly and encouraged them. Ben Chung was one. Not because he didn't want a job, but there was a certain season it didn't work out with certain things. And he was so afraid, oh man, I'm going to lose it, Jimmy. I'm going to go crazy. Because, you know, he's seen certain individuals in family life, that kind of thing. Mm. So we met up, and he was productive. Not only working, but he was also active, serving different ways, okay? I'm not bringing this as a brag about him, okay? I'm not bringing it just because his occupation is white-collar, okay? I bring it up to say that I'm not bagging on unemployment. But at the same time, if you're not doing anything at all, the problem now is there's no self-control. You're doing whatever you want, and that often will bring baggage in a relationship. You're going to fall into sexual immorality very easily. Okay? Sexual immorality sometimes is not the main problem. The main problem that drives it is lack of self-control. Because we will always be tempted, okay? We will always be tempted. Can we be honest, okay? As men, we would have... maybe some people are super sanctified. But sometimes it's not just that. It's not just temptation. We give into temptation because of lack of self-control. If you give me someone that's having a problem in relationship with sexual morality, it's never that alone. If you ask how's their scripture reading like, how's their discipline in other areas, you'll see that also as well. They're going to be answering negatively too. Does that make sense? It's, I think, one of the things we underplay is it's just manifest as one manifestation. So for me, it's to go deeper. It's to say it's an issue of self-control. And for me, I don't have no self-control unless there's a purpose why I'm going to be self-controlled for. And the purpose is to love God and to serve Him. Does that make sense? Okay. So in this case of those that want to have a lot of money, they say things, or sometimes people go so far as to say, I don't need a marriage commitment. I can be happy with just money. Okay. There's some people that are like that, right? A year ago, a famous millionaire died. You guys remember? A famous millionaire? I wrote a blog article on my website, Tale of Two Funerals. It was one of us, my old professor, Dr. Thomas, who died in September 2017. He was a godly man. In fact, he was a professor at TMS, but he always went home early. He taught all the morning classes because at 2 a.m. he drove back home to Anaheim to meet with his wife, who was at a health long-term health facility. And he did that for 10, 15 years because he loved his wife. Okay, that's one man who died in September 2017. Most of the people in this world do not know Dr. Robert Thomas. Most people know in September, the headline for everyone knew about his death was what? A millionaire playboy who? Founder of Playboy himself, Hugh Hefner. Okay? Who at times, even in different seasons of his life, had relationships. Any relationships.
Right.
But never a wife. Okay? Right? Sometimes there was times where he had four women. That was his girlfriend. But none of them was his wife. And he would live out this principle of saying, I don't need a marriage commitment. I can be happy with just money. And then money, you buy what? Girls or whatever else you want. Does that make sense? But is that a biblical reason to be single? Now, if you have, I would have to say, okay, therefore go marry. Does that make sense? There might be remarriage. But at the same time, we also still need to say, hey, your reason to be single is still problematic. Does that make sense? It's still problematic. It's still unbiblical also as well. And I hope none of us in the church has this attitude. But if the world, this is our culture, you can bet that sometimes this creeps into the church, okay? So interpreting this biblically, first off, we need to realize money does not satisfy. Money does not satisfy. If you were to have this kind of mentality, you could easily make money into your idol. But you need to know, money does not satisfy. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10. Jun, would you be able to read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 10?
Yeah. Get that. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity.
Yeah. So this is pretty sobering stuff, right? The verse is very clear. He who loves money will not be satisfied with money. It's like drinking salt water, yeah? It's like drinking salt water. You drink a little, and then you think, oh, okay, oh, that was so good. But then you want more. But you never want more in a way that's satisfying. You just continue to want more in a way that's self-destructing to your own stomach. Okay, does that make sense? Okay? Isn't that so true? People that are gambler, addicts, right? The problem is, you know, it's amazing sometimes, right? They could win big, but their mentality, why destroy them is they always say, but I just want a little what?
Yeah, a little more.
More. Then they go home and says, oh, I want all this. They could brag, but then they think, oh, what if I continue to be there, right? So then what if I just I don't know, the slot machine, what do you call that? You pull it down one more time, right? Then they go back and they destroy themselves, okay? They destroy themselves because the idol is not even the money. It's the idol is actually the love of money. Okay, money in itself is not bad. It's a wonderful tool. It's a great servant. Okay, sometimes I love giving to support cause because I feel like I picture myself like the, you know, the Godfather, right? You're the Don, comes over and say, hey, you know, Shepherd's Conference, like, hey, brother Chad, brother so and so, like, you're in chat, like, what do you need? How much you need? Okay, you cut it out. I just feel good. You guys ever have this? You're just joyful to help a cause for Christ, right? You feel like the Don, right? Or the Godfather. You're helping a cause, even though you can't be there. But you could finance that, right? To be a massive conspiracy for the glory of Christ. To win souls, right? But then money, though it's a good servant, makes poor what? Masters. Okay? It will never satisfy. Also, let's also look at, so therefore it is all vanity. Let's also turn with me to Mark chapter 8, verses 36. Mark 8, 36.
Mark 8, 36.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?
Yeah, that's what Jesus said, right? So all these perspectives should make us interpret this biblically. That if you were to think money is the source of your happiness, that you all you need in your life is this instead of an actual commitment of marriage or pursuit of godly relationship heading towards marriage, you need to have this right perspective, right? That money is not the solution to your problem. So it's application. Sometimes this manifests itself with someone being a workaholic, okay? Now, I do think there's people are workaholic for different things. Some is because, what? There's nothing else going on in life, so they make work as a meaning of life. I'm not addressing that. But I also realize some people are workaholic because they want to get money. And they think money is a solution to all their problem where they don't need a marriage commitment, okay? But then one needs to see that being a workaholic for one's sake is problematic. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 7 to 8.
Then I looked again at vanity under the sun. There was a certain man without his dependent, having neither a son nor a brother. Yet there was no end to all his labor. Indeed, his eyes were not satisfied with riches, and he never asked. And for a fool man am I, laboring and depriving myself of pleasure. This too is vanity and is a grievous task.
Good, okay. This shows that this is the one that works, he has no relationship. When he's older, what do you think is going through his mind? He's thinking, what is all my labor for? Right? What is all my labor for? Where you can't, when it all becomes a grievous task. You're working for what? Nothing, right? Sometimes I feel the saddest people you see sometimes, at least for me, saddest scenario that I always imagine is, you know, sometimes when you have parents, their kids, maybe they have one son and that one child die early.
Right.
And the parents are still working. Maybe they're in their 50s. They go to work every day, come home every day, but then there's nothing left behind. Almost to the point like, why are they still living? Why are they still working in the next 10 years? That's sad. This is what the Ecclesiastes described, right? With no dependent. So that's sad. Going on to what Mr. Burns says, that one of the reasons, or bad reasons, is it gets really lonely in this kind of world when you're only doing it for money, okay? That gets really lonely. Because of the sake of time, we're going to look at the other reasons next week, okay? But here are all these things. I think in the end, the goal is not even to be relationship. My goal is not even just to say right away, hey, get in relationship if you have bad reasons to be single. The right thing to do is say, okay, go and realize what are the good reasons to be single and be content in Christ. But also, if God leads you, to also say, hey, these are good reasons to be in a relationship too. Okay? And then you pursue. But let it not be that you're held back with bad reasons to be single. I think of all these things, the two points that we talked the most, I think the one that's most realistic among people in church of bad reasons to be single is probably, what? I want to have fun. Like I said earlier, most of the people in the church might not be with the single guys to say, okay, they're going to be this great womanizer. But it's probably the more smaller sin, almost feel respectable sin, that overlook. Say, oh, I just want to be what? Content with my internet, with my world, smaller world of game. And I'm not going to love people in the church, and therefore, I'm not loving people in the church, therefore, I'm not going to be able to actually interact with brothers or sisters. And then you're content with that. That's the sad part. Whereas maybe previous generation realized, oh, there's something wrong. I'm lonely when I'm just by myself. We could easily amuse ourselves to death, right, in our singleness and think everything is okay. We could easily have that as a bad reason. But in all things, why do we want to be single and why do we want to be married? It ought to be for Christ. Christ who died for you, who is single. And he was single for what? Bad reason or good reason?
Good reason.
Good reason. And his good reason to be single was what? So he would die to save you and I, to make you a part of the church. And that church, in the second coming, we will be his bride on that day of his coming. Saved from hell, saved from our sins, saved from the power of sin, saved from the penalty of sin, and saved from the presence of sin. And he will wipe away every tears from our eyes, and every soul will be now rejoicing, because he is our groom who saved us from the great sin and great fate of hell.